How would you like some peanut butter with that jelly sandwich?
Hey, ho, it's the Chris Court Show. Hey, ho.
This is the Major Resolve, and you're listening to the Chris Court Show. This episode is brought to you by...
Another interview, another episode for y'all asses. Let's fold this one, put it into a star, and shove it.
Shove it where?
Just shove it. I don't know. I was just thinking, like, maybe you could shove it. How's everyone doing today? Yes, this is another episode, and you heard it in the intro. The Major Resolved.
I don't know.
Major Resolved.
Because you're drunk already.
The Major Resolve. Awesome interview, man. Like, it was fun. We had a good time.
Oh, yeah. He was a great guy.
We got into, like, old school stuff. Like, I even said on the interview, like, this guy could be my best friend.
You know, he could be.
He listened to a lot of good music. He mentioned Uriah.
Matt.
Huh?
I said, fuck Matt.
Or you getting JoJo? Do you want me to come and kiss your boo-boo? Is it in your heart?
It hurts.
Oh, my Maddie. I'm here, baby. You want to kiss?
I'm getting a motor.
So anyway, it was good. Matt liked his beard.
His beard was
actually
amazing.
So did I. I owed it.
His beard was glorious.
Yeah, very well maintained.
I was
beard.
A little jealous.
I was going to actually ask him if he has, if he uses any kind of beard products, beard oil, beard.
He probably uses something, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't use anything, it itches.
Oh, yeah. I know. I mean, you could see in the episode Weak Beard when I trimmed my beard. Actually, my beard's actually coming back.
It's filling in again.
Yeah, it's filling back in.
Looks better.
I want to get the goatee thing going longer, how I had it.
Ah.
But we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Why don't you just go down to the soul patch?
What? Just like shave everything and just soul patch?
Just leave the soul patch right in the middle there.
You know what that's actually really called?
A soul patch?
Flavor saver.
Flavor saver. I thought that was the mustache.
No.
The mustache is the flavor saver.
Is it?
I think so, because like, when you're eating soup, it gets stuck in your mustache.
No, the flavor saver is like, never mind. I don't want to get too crazy on here. Let's just talk about the Major Resolve.
All right, let's talk about the Major Resolve.
Holy shit.
We get sidetracked easily when we're drunk.
We're not drunk. All right, so awesome interview again. And he's from Kentucky.
Kentucky.
And he has
Bourbon Country.
The band Major Resolve. Yeah, Bourbon Country. And we got Jim Beam Devil's Cut right here, right now. And in honor of this show, we are going to take an episode.
We're going to take an episode?
Nope.
You're not drunk, are you?
We're going to take a shot. Jesus. Well, you know, like we...
Yeah, I'm not going to let you edit that out.
All right. You got me. But, you know, and it was tonight that we interviewed him. So, you know, we were, you know, I was drinking a couple of brewskis. I haven't had an IPA in a long time. Drank an IPA. We were having whiskey. And it was a good time, you know. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I was a little drinky.
Yeah.
So were you.
Oh, yeah. I still am.
Yeah. So let's take a shot.
All right. To whiskey.
No. To the Major Resolve.
To the Major Resolve.
You fucking idiot. And take us away into the song, Desson.
This is the Major Resolve with our single Mask here on the Chris Court Show.
Go through life as you did no wrong.
Mask by the Major Resolve, and I could totally see when he was talking in an interview, now that I'm hearing that again, where the type of negative influence comes from.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, amazing song. You know, he sent that to us. That song is out now. If you want to check it out, go on any streaming platforms, and it's there. He also has a new album coming out.
Sometime later this year.
But, you know, the interview, it kind of has its serious moments and, you know, its funny moments. And it was a great interview.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It was a lot of fun.
It was good times. We got, you know, we got sidetracked a little bit, but, you know, that's great. And it was good. It was all good fun, you know. Matt was sweating like a chimpanzee.
I wasn't sweating that bad.
I seen you. I wanted to call you out, but we were... too much in the...
I wasn't sweating as bad as some other interviews.
Yeah. You had the meat sweats.
I want some meat right now.
Yeah. So without further ado, let's get into our interview. Thank you guys again for listening. If you want to be interviewed or if you want your song played on an episode here, contact chriscourtshow@gmail.com. We'll get back to you. And, you know, all we do is just... all we want to do is take independent music and just give it some kind of platform, whether maybe it's not a big platform, but it's a platform.
It's a platform.
You know, and...
if it becomes a big platform, that's even better, but...
right.
We're here for the independent artists.
We're here for the independent artists, and, you know, we're going to have a video of this. So if you search on YouTube... there is video of this. It was on Zoom. That's where we do all our interviews, it's clips and all that. But anyway, without further ado, let's get into the interview. The Major Resolve
here on the Chris Court Show.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good, good. You know,
trying to stay warm up here.
Yeah.
Where are you guys out of?
Chicago.
Oh, hell. All right. Yeah, I'm down here in Kentucky. So it was warm today. So.
No, not how warm? Like
I think got the 70, 72, I think.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we were like in the 40s today.
Ah, yeah. Well,
it's like summer weather here, though. Right. Yeah, it is.
Well, then I'm not going to brag. I mean, it was terrible, man. I mean, the snow just came through, lost electricity. It was rough, man. So you guys are doing good up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, we're well prepared, so. So just right off the bat, if you can introduce yourself and, you know, what band you're from. And
yeah, easy enough. My name is Dustin Ray. I'm from the band The Major Resolve. I'm the singer-songwriter for the band. The band that consists of me, actually, right now. So it's easy to remember. It's just me right now. So.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So do you play all the instruments on it?
No. A guy named Tater Johnson, who I'm under his label. He does. Now, don't get me wrong. I can play a mean power chord sometimes. But other than that, man, it's I kind of just give him a rough idea. And he just runs with it.
Awesome.
All right, cool.
Well, everything sounds great, so, you know.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Just so you know, my name is Chris, and that's Matt, the one with the tiara on his head that pisses me off all the time.
Yeah, I was waiting to see some limoncellas or limoncellas sitting there for you guys to drink or what have you. You know what I mean?
I think that's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, we drank that, I got a little fucked up off of that one.
Yeah, dude, that was a good show. I was listening to it. I was laughing. I was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, I think even the pronunciation, you know, went from being, you know, all right to who knows. No, I'm just playing with you.
Right.
Guys,
probably did.
It probably did. That show was 130 proof.
Yeah, the thing is, my buddy made it, and he just said, yeah, this is 130 proof. And, you know, halfway through the show, we already had, like, what, two shots or three?
Two or three, something like that, yeah.
And yeah, at the end, I was just like, oh, fuck this.
And we were drinking other stuff, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were drinking whiskey and beer and Bush. And
oh, so you guys just tying it on, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, you have to.
I feel you.
If you're going to go, you got to go hard.
Hey, you might as well.
So, all right, well, let's get into the questions here and interview. And I'm going to stare at Matt's tiara that is brining in my eyes here right now.
There you go.
So when did everything start? So when did you start everything? When did you start? Well, that's not just a band, right? It's just you said, right?
Yeah, it's really just me at this point. So...
Okay. So how long you been doing this for?
Well, you know, back 20 years ago, I was trying to do the band thing, then quit. Life happened and, you know, just had to grow up. And so essentially what had happened was I still kind of played around on the guitar. I kept writing lyrics. And about March of last year, my kids had found an old, you know, CD that I had done, you know, out of a garage. And they're like, Dad, can you please, you know, go back and record some new music? And
that's
pretty
awesome.
Much. Yeah, man. So essentially my wife and my kids were like, Dad, just do a couple songs, just do something. So I've been going at it for just over a year now.
Oh, wow. Wow. That much in a year.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, and you come out with some quality music too. We were actually taking a listen while we were setting up. I've been listening to it, you know, all week, and it's you said that it kind of reminded you of like a Three Doors Down,
like one of the slower, more depressing Three Doors Down songs. Yeah,
Dude, that's cool though. I'll take it. I like Three Doors Down, man. So
well, I do too. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, the depressing. I mean, yeah, dude. I admit it's some of it comes off pretty moody, but
depressing music's some of the best music.
Right, I'm right there with you. It fits my mood a lot of the time. So
I also write music too, and my shit's always depressing. Like I can't. I'm not.
You can't write a happy song to save your life.
No, I can't. It always comes out depressing. So, but I love the music. But I don't think your music's too depressing. I think it's just kind of that the somber type of music. But it still has that. There's a message there that I've noticed in all your songs.
Perfect, and that's what I appreciate that, because essentially every song that I do is an experience that I've had. And so it's kind of my way of one therapy of like, hey, write it down. Let's see what we got. And two, it's kind of show my kids too. Like, hey,
right.
If you wonder why dad's the way he is, you know, the older ones can kind of listen and be like, oh, what happened? And I can explain them, you know, hey, this is kind of why I think this way about this subject, or why I do the things I do. So.
And that's awesome. That's awesome. I have a recording too, and I always think of that too. The same way, like, I want my kid to listen to my music, and you know, when I'm dead and gone, like, that's something that I would love if my dad had an album that I can listen to, you know. And it doesn't have to be anything big, nothing, just even him farting around on the fucking microphone. That would be awesome, right? And that's cool that your kids can hear that from you. You know,
yeah, it is, and I'm right there with you. If I had something, you know, hey, my dad did this, or I could be like, hey, grandpa did this for me, or what have you. You know, that'd be awesome. So I'm hoping my kids, you know, I think they appreciate it. Of course, some of my older ones are like, hey, dad, can you try to be like, I got one daughter. Dad, can you be more like Deftones? No. I love them, but I am in no shape, position, or quality to do Deftones. You know, I got another daughter who likes Arctic Monkeys and BTS. What am I going to do with BTS? You know what I mean?
I mean, you can start dancing.
You could do you could do a cross between BTS and Deftones. I want to hear that shit.
Yeah. Dude, you never know. I might come up with something like that. But I think dancing's a good idea. You know,
there you go.
It won't be very long, because I'll either fall or people will be like, oh, hell no. You don't need to do none of that.
Yep.
What inspired you to become a musician?
You know, I just grew up with music. You know, my parents were into, you know, I'm 47, so I was born in 77. So I kind of got the cool of all the scenes that came out. My parents listened to Pink Floyd, Uriah Heep, Carol Smith, you know, and so nice. That was cool. And then my older cousins, you know, they turned me on to like Judas Priest and Scorpions, and then nice. More of the glam when it came out, you know. So, and then I just kept on through the grunge years, and then the 2000s new metal, and I was always into music and always did. I'd be that kid who would rather sit home listening to, you know, tapes at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, acting like I was playing the guitar, uh-huh. You know. But so that was kind of my gig, and then it just kind of morphed into, you know, trying to do more of it and trying to do it on, you know, getting out there and playing. And so that's kind of awesome. What got me into it, man, is just kind of, I was an introverted kid too. So it's not like I went out and made friends.
Right. So
I was kind of stuck in my own head and
just kind of with music and yeah.
Yep.
That's kind of how,
that's how we became friends too.
Yeah.
We joined.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We joined a band together in high school.
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Yeah, so you guys know exactly this.
So we were kind of like, you know, afraid. I just didn't like people, I guess. I wasn't afraid of people.
I just didn't.
Yeah. But but you mentioned Uriah Heep, and it's crazy that you mentioned Uriah Heep. My dad was a huge, huge fan of Uriah Heep.
Right on.
And we actually seen them live, and I was on their – they had a I made a MySpace for them, and they interviewed me for it because I was like, shit, like early 20s when this happened. And they interviewed me because I was so young and I was a young fan with a MySpace page of Uriah Heep.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. I know they're coming to town, and my dad wants to go, but I don't know if we're going to make it or not. I don't even know if any of the original members are around or not. They got to be 100, 102 years old, something like that.
I think there's one that's original. I think one or two, but yeah, that's about it. Yeah, it's not many, but they're still good. You know, they're still putting out albums. And
yeah, I didn't know they were either until a while back. I was kind of looking to try to find a couple different albums for my dad, and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
They got music all the way up.
Yeah. They're still going, man, which is it's pretty cool. And they're pretty decent, you know? So the Judas Priest and like the glam rock, is that more of where your influences come from, or?
Yeah. You know, I'd say my main influences would be, and it's kind of weird, cause it's not in the music, but that I write, but Type O Negative was a very big influence on me.
Shit, man.
Nice.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So they're big. Queensryche's another one that was really big for me. Depeche Mode, they were a big one influence on me.
That's the band I was thinking of when we first played you. I was thinking of a band. I'm like, they sound like someone, and I couldn't think of it. It was fucking Depeche Mode.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I love, like I said, I love them.
I just hear the influence. Now, I'm not comparing you. I don't like when people compare, like, oh, you sound, but like I can hear an influence, definitely.
Yeah, dude, I got you. Yeah, no, I appreciate it, because I'm sure that kind of weighs, because it's funny, because this song I'm getting ready to come out with, I let my daughters listen to it, and they said, Dad, I like that you're singing higher and not trying to sound like Peter Steele or something. And I'm like, what? Well, he was cool, but yeah, I get it. You know what I mean? So I can definitely see some of the way I phrase some of my wording, and just maybe some of my vocals kind of have that Depeche Mode vibe to it. So yeah, that's cool. That's fair enough.
Yeah. I man, me and you are going to be best friends. Type O Negative. Fucking shit. I love Type O Negative.
I do too, man. I do too. Such a fun band to see live too.
I've seen them live a couple times, you know. We seen them, I think it was on Halloween, like right before Peter Steele passed.
Oh, man.
And it was they were such good live performing act.
Yeah, they were. I seen them twice, and each time I was like, man, you guys are just their presence on stage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just like larger than life.
Right.
So
it was cool. A little story, not to get off track, but Peter Steele was playing I forget what song he was playing. And then all of a sudden he stopped the whole fucking song, puts his bass down, and is like, hold on, I got to go shit. And then fucking 15 minutes later, it's dead silent, mind you. Like, people are just talking, dead silence. And then he comes back, puts his bass on, and then they fucking start.
That's funny. It's funny, because I can see that. And, you know, most fans would be like, oh, this is what the hell? Right. I want to do this. But if you're a Type O fan, you kind of expect.
You understand,
Yeah. And then you're like, dude, this is awesome, because this wasn't planned and this is what he's doing. So I'm going to have to sit here and listen to house music till he's done shitting.
Yeah.
I think I could respect that from any artist, to be honest. If they just like honestly told you why they're walking off stage,
right?
I could respect that.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes you gotta, you know, take a shit or piss.
Yeah,
well, yeah, it happens. I guess it doesn't matter what you're doing, you know.
Right.
If you gotta go, you gotta go.
That's so, right.
That's like that one girl. Was it Brass Against or whatever? I don't know if you guys ever heard about that lady. She dang, they was playing a show. Dude got up on a fan, got up on stage, laid down. Dude, she dropped her drawers and peed right on him, right on stage. I was like, what? What is this?
Fuck that.
I know. I was like, man, I don't care how big of a fan I am. That ain't happening.
It's like a reverse R. Kelly concert.
Yeah.
It is, too.
Or G.G. Allen.
Or G.G. Allen. There you go. I mean, they're all cut from the same cloth, you know.
Exactly,
what I mean?
From the same cloth. Holy fuck.
Could you take us through the steps of how you write music?
Sure. Essentially, I have lyrics, and then I'll just kind of try to sing a melody or try any part of the song. And then at that point, I'll try to take a guitar and just try to see if I can work something. And as long as I can get a couple of notes or what have you, then I end up giving it to Tater, and then Tater just kind of runs with it, and we'll sit there and he'll put certain parts to it and we'll say yay or nay, or, and that's kind of the process. It's really, a lot of times if I'm writing lyrics, it's because I'm either mad or I'm trying to, or I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
So yep. I'm like, okay, well now I just want to say this. I better write it down so I don't say it out loud.
Yeah.
And then, so that's kind of how that, the process works. I think the last two songs, actually Tater's come up to me and said, hey, do you like any of this? And I'm like, well, let me see. Yeah, this would fit perfect for what I got going on right now. So it's becoming more of a joint writing, I guess.
Does he write the music, or like, so he records the music, right?
Yeah. So essentially he's the producer. He mixes, masters it. And then he also comes up with the instrument arrangements.
Okay.
All
right.
So he does all that stuff. He was actually, I don't know if you remember a band called 10 Years. They're pretty big.
10 Years?
Yeah, a band called 10 Years. They had a big song called Wasteland. And
Wasteland sounds familiar to me. So does 10 Years, but I don't. I'm thinking of 10 Years After. That's not the band.
No, yeah, this is just 10 Years, but he was one of the founding members and the guitarist for 10 Years. And so okay. he left in like 2017 to start his own independent record label and get into that whole producing and mixing side of the house. So,
gotcha. And you're on his record label then?
I am, yes, yes.
Okay, awesome. So the song that you sent us, Mask, it's going to be released next week. We did listen to it, but just, are we able, first off, to play that song on our show? It's probably going to be released in what, a week or two?
Probably 2 weeks or so.
Yeah,
so
no.
We're good to, okay.
Yeah, by all means. Unless you talk a lot of trash about it, but then you
no,
still can't.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, we wouldn't have you on here if we. So I the what I got out of it when it started off, it was psychedelic. When I first heard it, and I really really liked the lyrics. It was mask of a father. I think it was right. Am I?
Yes. Okay. Yep, that's right.
So what? So exactly in your words, I mean, you wrote the song. So what is that about?
So Mask is about family violence, and it's about how when you block a certain, you know, you block trauma as a kid out, and as you get older, you start. Things kind of start creeping in your head, like, did this happen? Did that happen? Mm-hmm. And then with an adult mind, you kind of go back and be like, man, you know, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why this? Why that? And it, that's what the song is about. It's pretty much just trying to understand why. And, okay. And like the second verse, it's about the mask of a mother. So it's kind mm-hmm. of a two-part. And so that's what that song's about. That's what I wrote it for.
I just
kind of as an adult having kids and you're like, what, how, right. how is that? How did that happen? And why?
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah. And now obviously this is a personal experience, right? I mean, if you don't want to talk about that, that's totally cool, but
yeah, no, okay. It is. It's a personal experience. It's more indirectly of a, I mean, it's a personal experience that happened in my family.
Yeah.
And I wasn't necessarily directly affected by that, but I was indirectly affected
by it.
But
still, yeah.
And so it kind of, you know, even as adult, I'm like, man, how did this happen? How'd you let this happen? You know? So
yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so Open Your Mind, Open Your Eyes is the song that we played, on our show the last time. That was kind of gearing for the same thing, was it? And, but it wasn't. So then it's not about a relationship then so much. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, it's not so much about a relationship.
Okay.
You know, with Open Her Eyes, it was about being in a domestic violence relationship. And I kind of told a story of from the female, you know, obviously it's through the eyes of a female. But
yeah,
I did put a lot of my own stuff in there from a previous marriage that I had. And so when I talk about the, you know, the chains that cannot be seen are the hardest to break. That's more for like a man too, because, and I hate to say it, but a guy can take a beating all day long, right?
Yeah, right. And,
you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's the emotional stuff that keeps him.
The emotional abuse, man, yeah.
Yeah, that keeps a man, you know, with a woman. It's especially if they have kids, you know, it's like, man.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, if you guys ever been through it or know anybody who's been through it, if you're a father getting divorced and trying to get custody of their kids in the United States, woo, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
You better hope they screw up bad, you know what I mean? So it's kind of that as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've known people that tried to go through the system and just get fucked from it.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little while back, but do you know the band Blue October?
Oh, of course.
So they wrote an album called Any Man in America, and it was just about that. It was about, you know, going through the system, getting divorced from his wife and trying to take over his kids and how the system is fucked up. Good album.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out because I know I've seen it, but I don't think I've heard anything off that album.
Okay. Yeah, check it out. It's probably one of my favorites by them. It's
okay.
Called Any Man in America. But yeah, it's super fucking good.
Yeah, I love Blue October anyway. So
yeah, we seen them a lot. My wife loves them, so we always go see them.
No, that's cool. Yeah, we haven't seen them yet. They never come close enough. Or if they do, it's on a week night, and I can't drive down to Nashville on a weeknight and try to expect to get back.
Well, you have has Jim Beam there? It's Kentucky's Jim Beam, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kentucky Bourbon.
Some of you taking a tour there? That's all I drink, by the way. That's my whiskey.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
I'm looking at it right now. It's taunting me.
Yeah, we got a place right out here, probably 20 minutes away. That's a Jim Beam. I don't know if they distill it there or if they what they do, but yeah, it's all right here. All the bourbon. This is the land of bourbon and
everything else.
So, which is cool.
Right.
All the original bourbons are Kentucky bourbons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to move there just for that and the weather and everything else. I'm sure there's obviously nicer people that listen to Typo Negative and No, You're Right.
There's I'm sure there's a few floating around.
I'm sure, you know.
I'm gonna pull my mouth around. When you're writing music, do you embrace the trend of releasing singles now, or are you more of like an album track kind of guy?
Well, so me personally, I like an album, but I'm also old school in the fact that, you know, I still like to get CDs and I still like to get vinyl because there's something about holding, you know what I mean? Holding something and trying to rip the packaging off without damaging the cover.
Oh, preach on.
Being able to read the lyrics and look at pictures and just, you don't have that now with, you know, the streaming sites and what have you. So it's more of it's a better way from what I've been told to do a single every 4 to 6, 6 to 8 weeks. And I don't know if it's because of the attention span of people, or there's just so much music that, you know, it's hard for a lot of people to get stuck on one band and be like, man, I'm just going to listen to this band over and over.
Yeah.
So I like albums myself, but I am going with just a single release.
It's not the way. Yeah,
that's the new way. Everyone's doing it now.
Yeah, you know what? And I like, even my kids are getting into CDs now, because at first they were against them, and then they can only get some band wasn't releasing it on streaming sites, so they got the CD, and now she loves it. So she buys CDs. Yeah, because now she knows. Oh, one even had a, you know, you used to get like fold out posters and shit like that. Yeah. So she got one, and she's like, "Oh, this is the best ever. I want CDs from now on." You know, so.
I know in my personal experience, CDs, I always love just like listening to the album from front to back.
Yeah.
Listening to it from front to back, it tells a whole story. It's all together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. There's something about sitting down and zoning out to a whole album when it comes out. And, you know, bands like Queensryche, when they did Operation Mindcrime, that was a concept album. You wasn't going to be able to release a single at a time. Nobody would know what the hell's going on.
No, you couldn't do that.
You'd have to go back and listen to the first one and the second one and the third one just to catch up. It's like, it would be like watching a series, you know?
Yeah. I would, I'd used to cut grass like when I was a kid, a teenager, and I would get $20 every time. Get $20, take my bike, go and buy, well, first I bought every single Beatles CD that I could find. And then just,
right on.
And then I bought Britney Spears. I was proud of that one.
That one came with the poster too, right?
Oh, it came with the poster. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you even listen to the album, or you just
I just locked myself away for a while and turned on the Beatles, you know.
That's a smart move.
But yeah, I'm with you. I also collect albums. I have a whole turntable that spent fucking just too much money. But that's what I'm trying to teach my kids too, like how to hold the vinyl, like don't touch the black part.
Yes.
And you know, my kid is actually getting to it. Like he'll change the vinyl around. Like I'll watch him obviously, but he'll change it around and not, you know, not touch the black part, hold it on his side. So, you know, that's the cool thing. Like I think, you know, and especially now vinyl sales are going up. Like,
it's becoming a trend again.
And so are cassette tapes.
Yeah, cassette tapes ain't going to stay around, though. I think vinyl will stay around.
What about 8-tracks?
8-tracks have been gone.
That was
the worst.
I had a shit ton of 8-tracks at one point.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, my dad like used to be a construction worker, and he worked on like a lot of Sears when they were closing and remodeling, and they were just giving away the 8-tracks because they couldn't sell them. So he brought them all home. We had a shit ton of them.
Dude, I would have listened to him. I'd have been like, this is cool.
Oh, that's the thing. As kids, we did listen to them. It was all sorts of different music, so you had tons of options to listen to.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You always got that warbling sound, though, in 8-tracks. Like, it was just like, you know, you'd hear it, and it would just go...
Yeah, it was because his motor's moving that big-ass tape around.
It sucked. Whoever thought of that?
You know what, though? 8-tracks didn't skip in the car.
No, yeah.
That's true.
Wait, your digital music gets skipped in a car?
I'm on CDs.
Oh,
we're old enough to know that CDs were in a car at one point.
Yeah.
And man, definitely don't get one of those CD Walkmans and try to connect it to the cassette tape to put it into your stereo. Because man, even if I took a turn too fast, it'd skip.
Oh yeah. Well, you had to get, because they were starting making the ones that like had anti-skip. I forgot what it was called.
Yeah.
There was something on there.
They read like 9 times in advance to try to keep the anti-skip down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the anti-skips. That was the shit.
You had money if you had that shit.
Yeah, that's true, too.
That was like the $180 CD Walkman.
Right. Yeah,
that's why I never had one. I'd fold a towel and set it in the passenger seat and set that sucker on there and just hope it wouldn't slide off.
Lock it in the seatbelt and
whatever you had to do.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part about this is that I had one of the little cassette tape adapter things for my car like 6 years ago.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Because I had a piece of crap car with a cassette player in it, so I had to get something to put audio in.
Well, that's the thing. Like they had the cassette players that you had to do that to. That you had to actually put the cassette in, and then it had to go to your like FM transmitter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And now it came out a while after you didn't, you know, they went away from the cord going from your headphone jacks to, I remember, but that was always hard for me to do too, because I could never I could never get it on the right channel to have the best sound.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the thing of it. I mean, but shit, now you just plug your phone in and no, you don't even plug it in anymore.
I know around here, like, the best channel was always like 88.3. It was like the lowest number on the thing. But then if you went downtown, it would stop working.
Yeah, see, that's another thing, too. You'd have to keep constantly trying to figure out what channel it was on. And by then, you know, I was already too mad. I didn't care anyway, you know. I just wanted to throw it out.
That's right. So do you have any upcoming tour dates or anything? Are you traveling outside of Kentucky at all, or do you ever?
No, right now, I'm not touring anywhere. Hopefully after the album comes out, I'm going to put a band together, and then we're just going to let it ride, have some fun, and see what happens. So that's kind of the gig, because I never really intended on even getting this far. I was just going to record a couple songs, but
yeah,
I think we're working on 10 songs, 10, 11 songs.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just playing it by ear, man. I'm just having fun. So
if there's enough
interest, you know, and enough people like it, you know, like the music, and anybody wants to play in the band, then hey, I'm cool. I'll go play somewhere.
That's awesome. When's the album coming out?
I don't know. Sometime this year. Yeah. I don't know exactly when. I'd try to plan out, you know, like I said, every six, actually we're working on about 6 to 8 weeks between releases right now. So I would imagine sometime in the fall, but I don't know for sure.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be, I think that would be perfect for fall.
Yeah. It'd be fun to get out there. So
yeah.
When you do release the album, where can people find it? Is it going to be mostly on streaming, or are you going to sell some physical copies as well?
You know, it's going to be on all the streaming sites. I do want to get, you know, a small press run of CDs. I'd like to throw some vinyl in there. I know it's kind of a dying, you know, CDs and everything is kind of going along the wayside, but there are still a few.
Yeah, but it's your like own thing, you know, that it's what you right. like. Gives a fuck.
Yeah,
the people want.
Well, that's kind of how I've been rolling with it. That's kind of where I'm at now with the music. You know, it's kind of like, you know, kind
and of it's just, awesome. So you're doing a good job. Like, you know,
dude, I appreciate it. I really do, man. Cause like, I never envisioned any of this stuff. So it's even the talking to you guys. It's like, cool. You know, like, what the heck, man, we're talking about something, you know, I created. What the hell's going on? Like Twilight Zone or something.
Yeah. That should feel good, man. I mean, like, not many people can do the shit that you can do, you know, and just create something out of thin air, you know, and make it sound good on top of that. So, you know, kudos to you. That's, you know, that's exactly why we're interviewing you, because that's why we interview.
That's why our show exists. You know?
Yeah. We
yeah,
just want to support everyone.
Yeah. And it's awesome that you guys do this, because you guys, you know, without you guys and other, you know, other stations like you guys, where would people hear indie bands or unsigned bands?
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's, has to be a labor of love, even from your guys' standpoint, because you guys could be doing, I mean, you guys do awesome things, man, on your guys' show, but you know what I mean? It's like, you guys still take the time to interview people like me and play bands. And so that's awesome too. So much respect to you guys for everything you do to help us out. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure, man. And like you was saying, I mean, we were there too. And like, you know, playing, you know, independent music, trying to get shows and like, writing albums and doing shit like this, and there was no platform. And I think that's kind of where the idea came from, where the, like, you know, everyone always asks, like, you know, there's not much rock bands, or there's not much you know, whatever bands out. Well, there is. You have to
look for them.
You have to look for them, and you have to dig hard. Yeah, but like, that's why, you know, we kind of created that, so you don't have to dig too hard, you know.
Yeah, no, and I've been able to find so many cool bands just being out there, like bands I'm like, man, you guys are awesome. Why aren't you guys bigger than you are? You know, like some of these bands, you're like, damn, okay.
Right.
You guys rock, man. And it's just, it's crazy.
And it goes to the wayside like every fucking time. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, it's sad because you got some quality bands out there and artists, you know.
Yeah.
Like, woo, man, all you need is the right person to hear you. And you guys are going to be huge, but
right,
and there's not as many people, you know, out there looking for,
unfortunately,
unfortunately.
All right, Dustin, well, Hey, man, thanks for taking the time and talking with us. And again, you know, I hope everything goes good with you and the album.
Thank you.
We'll keep in touch.
Yeah, man, I appreciate your guys' time, too. So, Chris, Matt, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. Take care.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Once again, thank you for listening to The Chris Court Show. Remember, if you have a band or business, or know someone that has a band or business, send all the info and MP3s to chriscourtshow@gmail.com. Chicken nuggets and cranberry sauce.
The Chris Court Show.